everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source. This is a Daily Spawn episode. We're up to issue number 79. Big issue. You think it's a resolution. Turns out maybe not so, but it's a fantastic issue. We're going to get into it in just a little bit. Before we do that, just a reminder what we're doing here on Spawn Daily. We have a reading order. It incorporates the entire series of Spawn, the regular series, as well as mini series, one shots, other tangential series. And I started off in 2022 celebrating the 30th anniversary of Spawn. Unfortunately, my co-hosts weren't able to keep up and I kind of fell off. I didn't really want to do it on my own, but it seems like if I want to get this done, that's the way it's going to be. And so I'm perfectly fine with that. But what I found as I was doing it in 2022, when I got to around issue 50, I realized there are so many things that happen in the other series of Spawn, because we started out just doing the main series, but learned that so many things that happen in the other mini series and the other ongoings and one shots and what have you really inform what happens in the main series. So for that reason, we decided to go back and sort of backfill, if you will. I looked online. I found the reading order that we used from a gentleman named Blake Whitlow. I went back, as I said, and backfilled all the previous stuff that I had skipped. And now going forward, we'll cover everything that's in the reading order. Again, a link in the show notes to check it out. And it really gives kind of a full, rich history of Spawn as a character, the supporting characters, and what have you. So, as I said, we're up to issue 79. It's been a heck of a lot of fun. And one more thing I'll mention, when we do cover an issue of the regular series, it will be just one issue per episode. But if we cover something like a mini series or a one shot or another one of the ongoings, we may at those times do the entire arc. So 4, 5, 6 issues in one episode. And I have noticed when it comes to kind of the viewing numbers that a lot of times you guys really enjoy the main book, but you're not always watching the tangential stuff, which is totally fine. I don't expect you to watch it if you're not enjoying it, but it's there if you ever want to go back and check it out, especially if they're books that you're not going to buy or not going to hunt down or you're looking for and haven't been able to find. At least you can go and find out if there's anything that happens in those issues that ties into the main Spawn story. So hopefully we'll get caught up. Probably going to take more than just the rest of this year to read everything and review it. But hopefully by sometime next year, we'll be caught up to the new stuff that's coming out now. And it'll be great to be able to review that and talk about it. And then I guess we'll just keep up with the reading the Spawn Daily. Maybe it won't be daily at that point. But yeah, we'll adjust as needed and keep up to date with all things Spawn. So that being said, let's go ahead and dive into the book for this week, or for this episode, I should say. Spawn 79, really cool cover here. I think it's Capullo, but it's not. Oh yeah, there it is. It's signed. Yeah, it is signed there below Spawn's left fist. He's got the gleaming eye. And then, obviously those eyes in the background that are like staring at him. You wonder, well, whose eyes are those supposed to be? So Exterminator is the name of this issue. We can see it's written by Todd McFarlane and Brian Holguin. Pencils by Capullo for the interiors. Danny Mickey on inks. Copy editor and letterer, Tom Orzechowski. Colors by Brian Haberlin and Dan Kemp. We do have the summary there for the previous issue. Just remind everybody what happened. Twitch was in a coma. Sam was, praying to anybody who would listen to save Twitch's life. Spawn answered the call. And basically, Sam and Twitch are they owe Spawn. And Spawn has them doing his bidding, if you will. They're kind of like his subjects, his minions, is the word that I used. But really interesting. To have that kind of dynamic, right? Sam and Twitch have been looking for Spawn for so long, trying to find him. And now that they're sort of beholden to him. But the other thing that's interesting is what Spawn's asking them to do, solve the murders of these homeless people in Rat City. This is not something that Sam and Twitch wouldn't do on their own, So yes, Spawn is ordering them around and telling them what to do, but is it really that bad if you're Sam and Twitch? Because like I said, this is likely something they would be doing anyway. So at least for now, the power dynamic is a little bit interesting. So We also learned a couple issues ago that Cagliostro was a Hellspawn himself, and he's aiding Spawn as well in searching for symbols and other clues that they've had about this murder and trying to figure out what might be going on. So the issue starts off, it's a rainy night in Long Island, and we see that this guy, actually Manhattan, I should say, we see the Twin Towers there. This man named Ethan Krone is making notes. He's a writer, and he's supposedly making notes on a dying city. So he says it's raining down on the street. The faceless drones, they scurry like rats, are seeking shelter. It could rain for 1,000 years. You're not gonna, wash the dirt away from the city. The filth is a part of us. So really, this cryptic, poetic writing that this guy is, Ethan Krone is talking about, and you wonder. What exactly is the point of this, right? So he talks about the murderer hiding out in the faceless masses. You wonder, is this guy with his kind of cynical outlook and his flowery language, could he be perhaps the murderer? But he says, I sit in the rafters, I watch it all, I write it all down. We get a chance to look at him. He's older, long hair, he's smoking a cigarette, he wears glasses, he's typing on his computer. He mentioned someone's killing the homeless. The discarded scraps of society. They're calling him the exterminator. And he mentions the note that the quote unquote exterminator has been leaving behind at his crimes, saying that these people are like insects beneath their feet. And he mentions the city being an uproar. It's really a way for McFarlane Hoagland to kind of set the tone, set the mood, let us know kind of how the citizens of New York, if you will, feel about this guy who's out there killing homeless people. So he says, yeah, the city's up in arms, but they're not looking at the big picture in terms of activities or methods or motivations, why the person's doing it. They're not looking at the big picture. It's all about the drama, right? The action, just waiting for the next announcement and the next dead body. And it's interesting his take, right? He says everybody loves a good murderer. And loves to see them get caught eventually, right? How's it going to end? So again, very, very cynical take from this guy. You wonder exactly what his motivations are. And as we turn the page, it's a beautiful montage piece here from Capullo, and it's still being narrated by what Crone is writing. Obviously, these aren't people that Crone is aware of, but as readers, we're aware. It says, "Who shall find their salvation?" And that word box is close to Spawn. Who shall be a hero or a villain? That box is next to Sam and Twitch. Who shall play the clown or the fool? And that box is next to Bobby. Will there be a tragic muse or a femme fatale? And that box is next to Dr. Sarah Frost that we met last issue. Who shall live and die? We get a picture of the detective that's working on the case, who's still with the NYPD, friend of Sam's, Detective SOS. And this guy says, I can't wait to find out the answers to all these questions, right? The anticipation is delicious. So why are we focused on this Ethan Krone? That is not clear either, but he leaves his penthouse clear. He lives in a very opulent building, heads outside, get a cab from the doorman. And again, thinking all this time, about what a tragedy it is, and it has everything for, that a classic Greek tragedy would have, victims and socialites and just all everything you need in a great story. So as he's leaving, he gets in the cab. As I said, the doorman hails the cab for him and says, "Take care out there. It's a wicked night, pouring rain, whatever." And interesting. Crone says, "Don't be absurd, my good man. It's a beautiful night to be alive, like when it's pouring rain." So, yeah, who is this guy? Why are we getting to know him so intimately? Yeah, I guess that we'll have to wait. Totally remains to be seen. Meanwhile, down at the precinct where Sam and Twitch were formerly police detectives, they've got Bobby. They've got Bobby in a holding room, and a couple of these cops, including Detective, I think it's Silbert is his name. They're interrogating Bobby. So we know Bobby was the one that first found Whistler's body, Whistler being the homeless guy that was the first victim of this murder. Bobby was the first one that came across him. And to Bobby's a shame, I guess you'd say. He takes, even though Whistler's his friend, and he's shocked to find him there dead, and he throws up. Then he goes and takes the bottle of booze that Whistler had just bought, because that's how much of an alcoholic Bobby is. And so these cops are like, your prints were on the bottle. There was blood on the bottle. Why'd you kill him? And they're really giving Bobby the third degree. And of course, we know that Bobby didn't do it, but these cops are under a lot of pressure to solve this crime, right? So, they're showing Bobby pictures of Whistler with his, throat slit ear to ear. Now, this is a friend of Bobby, so obviously he gets upset. And we know Bobby's pretty, he's not the toughest. He's not maybe the sternest stuff. He's kind of a little bit of a pushover. And these detectives are pushing real hard. And, eventually Bobby's, crying out, "Please stop, leave me out." He's like, "Bootsy, Bootsy, please help me." And that just makes the cops, even more mad. They're like, "Who's this Bootsy? Keep crying out for Bootsy. You're all alone here. Like, are you crazy? Like, what's going on? Are you hearing voices? Is Bootsy the voice in your head that told you to kill these people?" They compare Bobby to, Son of Sam, and they say, "Okay, we're going to take a coffee break. You better think about getting a good lawyer." And Bobby, he's just distraught. He doesn't know what to do, and he comes across the card that the doctor, Sarah Frost, had given him when he was first talking to Whistler a couple of issues ago. And he was saying, she was saying, "If you need help, if you ever need help, to call me." So he's thinking, maybe I should reach out to this woman and see if she can help me out. So meanwhile, outside the interrogation room at the vending machine, Silbert's talking to Sam, who's there, and he's saying, "Yeah, you know this guy didn't do it, right?" And Silbert's trying to make small talk. I thought you laid off the candy and the junk and what have you. And Sam's like, "Man, I've been doing so good on my diet. This is my reward," as he gets the candy. And they're talking about the case. And again, Bobby's like, or Sam's like, "There's no way this guy did it. It's a dead end. I know the pressure's on, but this guy's no killer." And Silbert's like, I can't say that. Like, he keeps talking to some imaginary playmate. And he's talking about some guy named Spawn. So yeah, Bobby's maybe saying a little bit too much, but I think even Silbert, Sam definitely knows that that Bobby's not behind it. And I think even Silbert, he's a good detective. He suspects as well that Bobby's not the guy. But again, he's going to do his due diligence, especially the pressure's on to solve this crime. So meanwhile, we know at the end of last issue there was another victim, I think the fifth victim, and it was just a young girl, just a juvenile 14-year-old girl. So Spawn's at the scene of the crime, where the police tape is and what have you, and he's trying to use his newfound gifts, the gifts that he obtained when he was in Green World that allow him to kind of sense pain and what have you, to see if he can see what happened, see who's behind it. And it works relatively well, but it's super painful for him, right? Like, he hears the girl screams. He knows it's a child. She's a runaway. And her last words were, "I want to go home. I want my mommy. This must be a bad dream." And he feels all the pain and the terror and the horror that this girl felt as the killer, slashed her and removed her heart and what have you. But what Spawn can't do is he can't see the face of the killer. He can't figure out who did this. So as his vision kind of comes to the end, he notices there's a bug crawling on the floor, and he picks it up and says, "What about you? What did you see? Do you know who's behind it?" And as he's talking to this bug, a couple of cops show up that are supposed to be guarding the crime scene, and tell him to put his hands up. They obviously don't know who this guy is. Of course, Spawn makes a run for it, uses his chains to kind of push the guys off, and disappears in the shadow. And so these c cops are, taken aback and like, "Well, we better call this in. Could this be the murderer, returning to the scene, like, murderers do, so they can get that thrill, or maybe they're looking for a trophy that they left behind or what have you." So yeah, Spawn is willing to do whatever he can to make this stop, but he hasn't had any luck so far. It just hasn't gotten the clue that he needs to figure out who this murderer is. So meanwhile, Sam's actually gotten to have a lunch date with this doctor, Sarah Frost, who seems to have shown some interest in him. And so They're kind of going back and forth and talking about how things have been challenging lately with Twitch getting hurt. And through the context of the conversation, we find out that this doctor vouched for Bobby. So Bobby did call her and she did go and vouch for Bobby. And well, they were able, she was able to get Bobby released from the police. I mean, partly because they didn't have anything to hold him on, right? They didn't have any actual proof. So pretty interesting. You can tell Sam's obviously very flattered and interested in this doctor, and it's played for a little bit of humor here by McFarlane and Holguin as Sam is trying to open a packet of ketchup. He tears it open with his teeth, and it splashes onto the woman's face, but she takes it relatively good-naturedly, if you will. But she definitely comes across as very caring, very kind-hearted. Because she's talking about why she started the outreach center and what have you, and Sam's talking about why he became a cop and all that. So as she goes off to clean herself up properly in the bathroom, the scene shifts to City Hall where there's a press conference. Again, gives us some context on how the city is feeling about this, and we're told about the shelters that have been opened up, the emergency shelters. So homeless have some place to go at night, so hopefully there won't be any more victims. We see that Ethan Krohn is there as a press conference, so perhaps he's press in some way, not just a writer. But again, it does give some context into the panic that the city is feeling. So meanwhile, Spawn's talking to Cogliostro, asking him what he knows, what he's found out, and Spawn says, I know, I can sense it's all part of some sick game. And Cog's like, I think there's more to this than just some guy out there killing people. We need to tread carefully. And Spawn's like, you don't understand, Cog. I can feel these people. I can feel this little girl. I can feel her struggling for her last breath. I can feel the terror. These are my, he calls them my people. These are my people being killed. And they're supposed to be under my protection. And so this is my fight. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to tread carefully. This ends right now. No one else is going to die on my watch. And whoever did this is going to pay. Like he is, fired up. So meanwhile, at the offices of Sam and Twitch, they're trying to go over everything they know about this killer, trying to figure out if there's any common denominators. And the only thing that they can figure is that maybe this latest girl might lead them to some new clues, because she did have some social services appointments, some social outreach appointments set up that she didn't go to, and maybe and they were at that outreach center that Sarah Frost runs. So if they can learn more about this little girl, is what they're thinking, then maybe it will lead them to who possibly the killer might be. Because remember, other than being homeless, none of these victims have anything in common. They haven't been able to find out anything. So again, the more they can learn about each an individual victim, maybe they find out they had a common enemy or what have you. So Sam doesn't necessarily need a lot of prodding to go talk to Sarah Frost again. It's clear that he has a crush on her, which is really shown by this next page here, where he's got a flower in his lapel, or actually, I'm sorry, he's taken her some flowers, combs his hair, uses some breath freshener. In fact, when he gets out of the car there, he looks a little less disheveled than we've ever seen him look before. But it is late at night, and when he does get to the outreach center, it's closed. So as he's standing there trying to figure out what to do, he sees a guy across the way leaning up against the wall in the alley. And remember, it's still been pouring rain here. So it's the guy's soaked to the skin, and it's Bobby. And clearly he's had a little too much to drink. He's kind of out of it. He's freezing cold. And Sam's concerned for him. He's like, you're soaked through. And Bobby's like, just let me sleep. Just let me sleep. And Sam's like, no, let's get you inside. So he kind of barges in, throws his shoulder into the door, lays him down on the couch, and he says, "I'm going to get you some help." It's clear Bobby's in a bad way, right? Like, maybe might have alcohol poisoning. He might be really sick from being wet and cold out in the rain, what have you. Sam tries to make a call with the phone, but It's a phone system where you probably have to like dial 9 or some kind of code to get out, and he can't get an outside number. So he's like, "I'm going to call you an ambulance. We'll get you to the hospital, but let me find you a blanket for you first, so you're not too cold." And when he opens the door to the office of Sarah Frost, he finds this altar there, which just shocks him, right? There's two hands that are hammered into the wall, pinned to the wall. There's a heart pinned to the wall. There's snakes and bugs, and there's a pearl necklace. There's crazy writing here: a serpent in the garden, tongues of the devil, idle hands, his blood is my wine. Candles, just really, really wild and crazy altar here, where there's clearly trophies from the victims. So it looks like maybe Sam's got a crush on the serial killer who's been killing these homeless people. So why the heck would she be doing that? Seems so out of character with what we've seen from her so far. But yeah, we'll have to wait till next issue to find out. So really great issue, fast paced. I like the way McFarlane and Holguin set it up. I love the fact that Sam was, on a date with this woman just earlier, and they had, again, she just seems so normal. They seem to have great conversations. She has seemed so nice throughout. And him splashing the ketchup on her, and getting embarrassed about it and what have you. Like, it's really well done. Really great misdirection. There haven't really been clues. I had no idea that it was her. Other than sometimes it's the person you least expect, so you wonder if you throw some suspicion on her just because she does seem like the most unlikely. I really thought maybe it would be this Ethan Krohn guy that we got introduced to, because he's so cryptic and flowery with his language, and we know some of the notes that have been left are very interesting in the way they're written in terms of vocabulary and what have you. So he's still a mystery. We don't know what's going on with him. What's Spawn's reaction going to be when he finds out it's this doctor who's got this outreach center, and what are her motivations in terms of, on the one hand, she's trying to help homeless people, and on the other hand, she's killing them? Like, is it just the outreach center just a front for her to be able to find victims? So that remains to be seen. And what's going on with Cog, in terms of what he told Spawn about him, excuse me, him being a Hellspawn himself, wanting Spawn to let loose and grow in his evil and take on Malbolgia and take over the throne. Like, that's still all on the back burner as well. And what's the hints to the bigger story that's going on, the bigger picture that that keeps me being hinted at, where perhaps it's everything is not all that it seems. So is Sarah Frost really the killer? Has she been set up? All that, we'll have to wait till next issue, and we'll figure out what's going on. So appreciate everybody joining as always. Really love that you guys all join me for this adventure on Daily Spawn. Don't forget, if you're listening to the audio only, please head over to YouTube and subscribe. I think I'm like 20 subscribers away from hitting 500, so I can monetize these videos and help defray some of the costs of production and website fees and all that sort of stuff. So really appreciate the support, everybody. Just head over there, subscribe, ring the notification bell, leave some comments below, let me know what you thought about the issue and that sort of thing. And I always love to hear people say, "Hey, it doesn't even have to be Spawn related. But you can say, hey, how about reviewing this book, or have you read that book, or what have you?" I'm always down to check out new stuff that I haven't read, or maybe I've read it, but I just haven't had time to post a review. I'm trying to find time to do more than just the Daily Spawn and the weekly DC. But it's a lot, obviously, with the day job and what have you. So hoping to do that. And I'll also mention, if you are watching us on the YouTube, there's a link in the show notes, in the right below, above the comment section, where you can go and click on our link tree. That'll take you to all our social media, but it also will take you to the website where you can have access to all the previous audio only content that we've put out on the Comic Source. Or you can just go to your favorite podcasting platform or app, do a search for the Comic Source and subscribe, because there's literally over 2,000 episodes of past content. If you want to go back and explore, check out our thing, like the the Secret Wars reviews that we did for Marvel Superhero Secret Wars, or interviews we've done, or convention coverage, or all that kind of stuff. Again, years and years of content for you guys to go back and enjoy, and you can pick and choose. I don't expect everybody to listen to everything. So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode, everybody. Really appreciate you joining as always. Appreciate the support, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.